Not me. I will never deny you again, nor will I ever turn you down when you invite me to experience communion with you.
That invitation is continual and everlasting, and more humans are feeling this life energy at full force and not turning it down. You are letting the force be with you. That is good. That is very good. For as you move into the next millennium, you will plant the seeds of the greatest growth the world has ever seen. You have grown in your science and in your technologies, and now you will grow in your consciousness. And this will be the greatest growth of all, making all the rest of your advances look insignificant by comparison. The 21st century will be the time of awakening, of meeting the Creator within. Many beings will experience oneness with God and with all of life. This will be the beginning of the golden age of the new human, of which it has been written. The time of the universal human, which has been eloquently described by those with deep insight among you. There are many such people in the world now, teachers and messengers, masters and visionaries, who are placing this vision before humankind and offering tools with which to create it. These messengers and visionaries are the heralds of a new age. You may choose to be one of them. You to whom this message is now being sent. You who are hearing this right now. Many are called, but few choose themselves.
What is your choice? Shall we speak now with one voice?
To say the same thing, we must all know the same thing. Yet you've just said that there are those who do not know. I'm confused.
I did not say that there are those who do not know. I said there appear to be those who do not know. Yet judge not by appearances. All of you know everything. No one is sent into this life without the knowing. That is because you are the knowing. The knowing is what you are. Yet you have forgotten who and what you are in order that you might create it again. This is the process of recreation of which we have spoken now many times. Book 1 of the Conversations with God trilogy explains this all in wonderful detail, as you are aware. And so it appears that you do not know. In wholly accurate terms, it would be said that you do not remember.
There are those who do not remember, and they do not remember that they've not remembered.
There are those who do not remember, but they remember that they're not remembering.
There are those who do not remember, but think they have remembered.
There are those who remember, but do not remember that they've remembered.
There are those who remember, but pretend that they have not remembered.
There are those who remember and remember that they've remembered.
Those who have fully remembered have become a member once again of the body of God.
I wish to fully remember. I wish to be reunited with God. Isn't that what every human soul longs for?
Yes. Some do not know it. Some do not remember that they remember. But they have a longing in their hearts nonetheless. Some do not even believe in the existence of God. Yet the longing deep within them will not disappear. They think it is a longing for something else. But in the end, they will discover that it is a longing to return home, to become a member once again of the body of God. They will discover this, the unbelievers, when they discover that nothing else for which they reach, nothing else which they acquire, can satisfy their deepest inner longing, not even the love of another. All earthly loves are temporary and short-lived, even the love of a lifetime. A partnership which lasts for half a century or more is short-lived compared to the life of the soul, which is without end. And this the soul will realize, if not before, then at the moment of what you call death. For the soul will know in that moment that there is no death, that life is everlasting, and that you have always been, are now, and always will be, world without end. When the soul realizes this, it will also realize the temporary nature of what it thought to be a permanent love. And then, on its next journey into physical life, it will understand more deeply, it will remember more easily, and it will know that all that one loves in physical life is short-lived, transient.
Why, somehow that seems so desolate. It seems to take the joy out of love for me. How can I love someone or something fully if I know that it's so temporary, so meaningless on the overall scale of things?
Well, I did not say anything about it being meaningless. Nothing about love is meaningless. Love is the meaning of life itself. Life is love expressed. That is life. Therefore, every act of love is life expressing at the highest level. The fact that something, some experience is temporary or relatively short, does not render it meaningless. Indeed, it may give it more meaning. Let me explain a bit more about love, and then you will understand more fully.
Okay.
Experiences of love are temporary, but love itself is eternal. These experiences are only here and now expressions of a love that is everywhere, always.
That does not seem to make it more joyful for me.
Let us see if we can bring the idea of joy back into it. Do you have someone in particular that you love right now?
Yes, many people.
And one in particular with whom you partner?
Yes, Nancy, as you know.
Yes, I do know that. But I am leading you through this one step at a time, so just dialogue with me.
Okay.
Now, this Nancy with whom you feel a particular love, do you have sexual experiences with her?
Do I ever?
Please.
I'm sorry.
And these experiences... And these experiences, are they continual, constant, and never-ending?
Don't I wish?
No, I don't think you really do. Not if you think about it. But for now, I'm accepting that these experiences are temporary. Is that correct?
Yes. Periodical and temporary.
And short-lived?
It depends how long it's been.
What's that?
A little joke, just a little joke. Mm. Yes, relatively speaking, the experiences are short-lived.
Does that give them any less meaning?
No.
Does it make them any less enjoyable?
No.
So you're saying that your love for Nancy is forever, but your expressions of love for her in this particular way are periodical, temporary, and short-lived. Is that correct?
I see where you're going.
Good. And the question is, where are you going?
Are you going to a place where you cannot enjoy or have meaning in your expressions of love as an eternal being simply because the experiences themselves are temporary? Or are you going to a place of greater understanding that allows you to love full out what you love when you love it, even knowing that the experience of love in that particular form is temporary? If you go to the latter place, then you are heading for mastery. For masters know that it is the full-out loving of life and of all that life presents in every moment that is the expression of godliness. This is the second attitude of God. God is totally loving.
Yes, I know about this second attitude and how it can change my life. This is one I don't need explained to me. I understand what fully loving means.
Do you?
I think I do, yes.
You understand what it means to be totally loving?
Yes, it means to love everyone without condition and without limitation.
And what does that mean? How does that work?
Well, I'm trying to figure that one out. This is a day-to-day exploration for me. It's a moment-to-moment discovering.
You would do better to make it a moment-to-moment creating. Life is not a process of discovery, it is a process of creation.
Well, how do I create, then, moment to moment, the experience of unconditional and unlimited love?
If you do not have the answer to that question, then you cannot say that you understand what it means to be totally loving.
Mm.
You understand what the words are saying, but you do not know what they mean. As a practical matter, they have no meaning. That is the problem today with the word love.
And the phrase, I love you.
And the phrase, I love you. People say it. But many people do not understand what it means, what it really means to love another. They understand what it means to need another, to want something from another, and even to be willing to give something in return for what they need and want. But they do not understand what it means to really love, to truly love. Many people have had a real challenge, a real problem with this word love and this phrase, I love you.
Including me, of course. My life has been a disaster when it comes to love. I didn't understand what it meant to be fully loving, when I guess I don't understand now. I can say the words, but I don't seem to be able to live them. Can anybody be truly loving, without condition, without any limitation? I mean, can human beings do that?
Some can, and have. These beings are called masters.
Yes, well, I'm not a master, by this or any other measure.
You are a master. All of you are. You are simply not experiencing that. Yet you are well on your way to experiencing mastery, my son.
I wish I could believe that.
So do I.
Until my most recent years, I didn't understand anything at all about love. I thought I knew it all, but of course I knew nothing. And my life was a demonstration of that. And you've just proven to me here that I really don't understand it yet. I mean, I talk a good game, but I'm not what you'd call a championship player. I haven't gone into my important relationships and my marriages in my narrative here because I want to honor the privacy of those whose lives I've touched in such hurtful ways. I've kept my story limited to my own personal wanderings. But I can say, in a general sense, that just about everything one can do to hurt a person, except injure someone physically, I've done in my love relationships. Just about every mistake one can make, I've made. Just about every selfish, insensitive, non-caring thing one can do, I've done. I married for the first time when I was 21. Of course, I thought I was a grown man.
That which you call need, and which you often confuse with love, does the opposite. Need holds on. This is the way you can tell the difference between love and need. Love lets go. Need holds on.
So, to be totally loving, I let go?
Among other things, yes. Let go of expectation. Let go of requirements and rules and regulations that you would impose on your loved ones. For they are not loved if they are restricted. Not totally. Nor are you. You do not love yourself totally when you restrict yourself. When you grant yourself less than total freedom in any matter. Yet remember that choices are not restrictions, so do not call the choices you have made restrictions. And lovingly provide for your offspring and all your loved ones all the information that you feel you may have to help them make good choices, good being defined here as those choices most likely to produce a particular desired result, as well as what you know to be their largest desired result, a happy life. Share what you know about that. Offer what you have come to understand, yet do not seek to impose your ideas, your rules, your choices upon another, and do not withhold your love should another make choices you would not make. Indeed, if you believe their choices to have been poor ones, that is precisely the time to show your love. That is compassion, and there is no higher expression.
What else does it mean to be totally loving?
It means to be fully present in every single moment, to be fully aware, to be fully open, honest, transparent. It means to be fully willing to express the love that is in your heart full out. To be fully loving means to be fully naked, without hidden agenda or hidden motive, without hidden anything.
And you say it's possible for human beings, for regular people like me, to achieve such love? This is something of which we are all capable?
It is more than that of which you are capable. It is that which you are. This is the nature of who you are. The most difficult thing that you do is to deny that. And you are doing this difficult thing every day. It is why your life feels so difficult. Yet when you do the easy thing, when you decide to come from, to be who you really are, which is pure love, unlimited and unconditioned, then your life becomes easy again. All the turmoil disappears. All the struggle goes away. This peace may be achieved in any given moment. The way to it may be found by asking a simple question. What would love do now?
The magic question again, eh?
Yes. This is a marvelous question because you will always know the answer. It's like magic. It is cleansing, like a soap. It takes the worry out of being close. It washes away all doubt, all fear. It bathes the mind with the wisdom of the soul.
Oh, what a good way of putting that.
It's true. When you ask this question, you will know instantly what to do. In any circumstance, under any condition, you will know. You will be given the answer. You are the answer. And asking the question brings forth that part of you.
Yeah, but what if you fool yourself? You can't fool yourself?
Do not second-guess this answer when it instantly comes to you. When you second-guess is when you fool yourself, and you can make a fool of yourself. Go into the heart of love, and come from that place in all your choices and decisions, and you will find peace.